So today is going to be a different thing. I'm going to be doing some work on the podcast. I'm going to be meeting with Ian and Ben, and we are going to be talking about a Dungeons & Dragons thing that we're doing. And wouldn't you know it, I forgot, and right now I'm writing back to Ben, yes, one sec, and we'll see how that goes. So everyone who's listening, thank you so much for tuning in. It may be a little bit shorter today because I don't know if our guest Ian has enough time to wait for an hour. My wife is cooking. And again, like I said, I completely forgot about the podcast today because it's on a Wednesday. And I kept on thinking that I had my podcast, but then I was like, I don't have my podcast. It's Wednesday. It's not Thursday. But see, Wednesday is when we actually had to change it to because Ben is busy on Thursday and Friday. So I was right that I had the podcast, but I was wrong that you know what I mean. I was right and I was wrong. Hey, listen, I'm not here to tell you what to happen. I'm not here to tell you what to happen. I'm not here at all. And so without any further ado, here comes the podcast that you've all been waiting for. The one that I'm doing. See, I'm waiting for everything to launch. This is why it's taking so long. And I'm sorry, everyone. I'm really sorry. The podcast you've all been waiting for. It's Paul Goody talking to the people who have been waiting to talk to him for at least 10 minutes now. And you know what? That's fine with me, but it's not fine with everyone else. And therefore, I'm here to help. And there we are. Can you guys hear me? So, Ben, as I've already explained to the listeners, because I was doing an intro while I was starting the podcast, I thought that we were doing it on Thursday, even though we were doing it on Wednesday. And the reason I say this is because I kept on all today. I was like, oh, yeah, and we got the podcast later on. And then finally I was like doing laundry. You can hear the laundry in the background. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Today's Wednesday. I don't have the podcast. I don't know what I was thinking about. So I apologize. Ian, you don't know this, but Ben has to go through this all the time.
Like every week. That.
He's actually told me.
Yeah, every week I have to hear the excuse of why Paul forgot.
Yeah, exactly. So hello.
Sounds like a productive relationship.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, speaking of production relationships, here's Edward.
Edward?
Yeah, Edward the dog. Here he is. Look at that guy.
Tiny Edward dog. Yeah. Edward.
Exactly. People forget exactly how small he is, or don't realize how small he is, until they see, like, my hand next to his face.
Yeah.
It really is, like, tennis ball size. So, hello, everyone. Dog.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Ian.
Hello.
So, I've already explained a little bit, and I don't know how much we want to explain. Also, I've just called you Ian. That's all. Sure. You can put your full name in if you want. Hey, look. Okay, those of you at home can't see this, but if you happen to be on the stream, Ian is just listed as Ian. So I think I did a pretty good job.
It's true.
Well, you can't see that on the stream either. Anyway, speaking of the stream, we're live and we're recording, so anything you say can and will be used against you if anybody ever listens to this.
Yeah, Ian, this is a huge plan to entrap you in a murder investigation. Meaning that we want you to help us investigate a murder.
I was going to say, I'm unimpressed so far.
Yeah. So, welcome, and thank you.
Hello.
We really shoot from the hip on this one. We don't expect anyone to listen to this for, like, at least 30 years, probably more. And by that time, the way that we talk, everyone is going to find it charming, so... Shouldn't
sure.
be a big problem.
So this is one of those things where, like, the painting is not worth anything until the painter has died.
Exactly.
And then suddenly the painting has become valuable.
That's
where the Van Gogh of podcasts.
Yeah, we'll have that sort of the documentation that can be sought after and found on some dusty hard drive is like, oh, I remember that guy. He's totally famous now that he's dead.
Exactly, yes. And the other big thing is that we count this as our longest running performance art piece. Much like many of our performance art pieces, it's an endurance piece. Can someone listen to all of these podcasts at one time? So far, Stephen McCandless, I think, is winning as being our most willing to put up with our actively hostile podcasting.
Yes, his common critique of our show is that we are hostile to the listeners, and we don't ever expect anybody to listen until 30 years later.
Yeah.
It sounds like a valid critique in this case.
The one thing I will say also, if you would like to write to us and tell us about how much you enjoy the podcast and support us, write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com. Try to figure that one out. Because that's our
sounds
actual
like a valid address.
Podcast yep. email address. Yay. All right, so down to brass tacks, Ian.
Indeed.
So am I correct in that you want me to tell you kind of what sort of plot hooks we have so that we can make some of the menu choices that the people who donate to Annex... I lost my train of thought, but you know what I mean. You want me to tell you kind of like how things are working?
So here's what I'm hoping that we can get done.
Okay.
And Ben, I'm hoping that you can be part of this as well.
Totally.
We have, from the previous time that we streamed the D&D game, we have this list of donation options that we came up with, which was 20 different things that people could donate money for. And when they donated money, that effect would happen in the game. As we experienced on the first stream, just dropping random monsters into the game wasn't actually that enjoyable. It was kind of confusing, and particularly some of the Freaky Friday swap, totally confusing. We're just taking that off the list.
Yeah, that's a good one to take off.
So that's
didn't
not
seem to be a popular one.
No, not active anymore. That's going away. And so one of the suggestions that we did get was, wouldn't it be cool if the donation options integrated nicely with the game so that you could... One of the for instances was if we had a cumulative, like a voting donation, where you have one of three choices and you can vote for any of these three choices with your dollars, and we just count the number of dollars, and the one that has the most dollars at the time that the decision has to be made is the choice that we make in the game. And the example of this would be, in the next combat encounter, our hero is going to run into a gang of kobolds. Or are they going to run into, you know, a dragon? Or are they going to run into a, you know, whatever? We scale the things to be appropriate to the next combat encounter, or the next social encounter, or the next the name of the next tavern, you know, anything like that, that we can come up with multiple choices, so that we run a donation that is time limited, but it's also not dollar limited. You can donate $1 and you can affect it. You can donate $1,000 and you can affect it. You can donate $5 10 times for three different options because you're just having fun with the system and you like donating money to the Annex Theater. So that's kind of the goal, is to have something where people who want to donate, because we had, I know of at least two people who were sitting poised at their keyboards ready to donate and they couldn't because the option just never came up. It's like, okay, I'm going to donate when someone gets down on health. I'm going to give them some hit points.
Yeah.
And they didn't because nobody ever got down on health. And so we missed a bunch of donations because of that problem. So,
okay.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, if we have anything that you, particularly with your highly creative mind, think of where we could have some kind of a donation structure where it could affect the game at some point that integrates with the story that we have in mind, anything else would be great to talk about.
All right. So the one thing I will say, let me give you sort of the... And Ben, I think that this is fine. You already know some of where we're headed or where we're trying to head. Let me give you the, and if you are a fan of the Annex D&D fundraiser, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, spoiler territory.
Chances are you're not actually listening to this podcast, but if you are, spoiler cut, because I'm about to lay out all the stuff that I have like already on deck, kind of. All right, so right now we're in the Kobold Caverns.
Yes.
Where the dragon is, there's a portal to... Or sorry, we're in the Kobold Tunnels. The Kobolds actually, you know, reinforce the tunnels and all that. Where the dragon is, there's a portal to the Bandit Caverns.
Okay.
If you try to get the band to the Bandit Caverns the other way, you have to go all the way up and then down around to the coast where there's a cave entrance. But in the Dragon's Room, where some of our heroes are right now.
Wait, some of our heroes are in the Dragon's Room right now?
Yes.
That's true, because they ran into... That's right. Gotcha.
So they could turn around, and the dragon even said, I listen to my bandit stories. Because what's happening is the dragon is listening through a hole into the bandit caverns to all the goings-on that the bandits are doing.
Hmm, okay.
So they could go and turn around if they investigate the room where the dragon is in, and why would you want to stick around? But if they did, there's a hole to the bandit caverns. In the wizard tower, there's a portal to the kobold tunnels. They would just go, and then they could meet the other people. If the people that are going to the tower were to go there, they would be able to enter into... There's a trap door like the one in the back of the shop. There's a trap door right on the first floor of the tower that they can use to get to the kobold tunnels. So we could, for the first part of it, get the other group into the kobold tunnels, and then we could do stuff in the kobold tunnels. And then it would be they meet... We could say you meet kobolds, or you meet more deep gnomes, because the deep gnomes are in there. You could meet bandits, because the bandits could come in through the tunnel in the dragon's place. Or you could meet augmented kobolds. They haven't run into any of the augmented kobolds yet, but augmented kobolds are kobolds that have been altered by the Mad King of Basura. Basura is the junkyard. There is an animated footstool. So the junkyard is full of all these animated creatures. And the animated footstool in Basura is taking dead kobolds and putting wires and things around them and animating them so that they carry out his bidding, basically.
Okay.
And he has used them and the other animated objects in the junkyard to create a maze. And so in this maze, when you're wandering through this maze, you will meet... And basically, I have four levels of different animated creatures. They're all kind of based on size. And they're reskinned constructs, different constructs. Okay. Like, the largest one, I think, is... the middle side is Rug of Smothering, and then the highest size is like a construct of some kind, like a golem or whatever. I don't remember exactly. I don't have my notes with me. But that's in this maze, you would meet those guys. In the center of this maze, Ian, is a giant banana slug that you might be familiar with. So that's where that is. And so... The other thing is, in the Bandit Caverns, the ghost of the wizard who used to own the tower who got killed is in there, and he's trying to rally the troops, in this case the bandits, to go against the Mad King of Basura and the banana slugs. With the idea being, you go to the kobold place first, and then you could, like, if they went to this one place in the kobold place, they would go up into the wizard tower, right? So the wizard tower leads you to, and if you go to the wizard tower, the apprentice will say, I sometimes don't think my master's dead. I hear his voice when I'm sleeping, and he's telling me that he's trapped in the caves. So then they go down to the caves. And so it basically goes kobolds to the caves, to the Mad King of Basura. That's kind of the path.
Okay.
But they could go right to the Mad King of Basura if they go, you know, through the kobold tunnels, go to where the there's a guy who's selling junk, and if they go up, then they would enter into the maze. And if they enter the maze and they kill the Mad King of Basura, or they don't, they bypass him, whatever, because you can negotiate with him, right? Yeah. Kill the banana slug or whatever. They kill the banana slug, then hopefully they find the artifact. They find the artifact. No one knows how to use the artifact but the ghost, and then the ghost is in the cavern, so then you do the cavern thing. You know, it's just each thing leads to the other one. It kind of depends on where they want to go. As long as I don't split the party, which I did, and I'm hoping that we can correct that. Ooh, hey, Ian. Ian.
Yes.
There it is. That's one. All Together Again is an option. Mm.
How do we reunite the party? With enough donations, we reunite the party magically.
Yeah, magically. They all appear in one location.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I would make that a count up. So that would be, you know, we'd set a limit like $100 or $200 or something, where if we get up to that amount, then they're magically transported.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do that one for sure.
Okay, let me write that down.
Yeah, Ben, yeah, so hey, just, what's up?
So you're in the know. I just emailed the company, the Annex company that we're doing this. So if anybody chimes in on the YouTube chat, I will let you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah. So far, I think one curious soul tuned in and then tuned right back out.
Okay.
Oh, spoilers. People read about spoilers. That was the problem.
Indeed.
Yeah. And also, of course, Ben, if we happen to get raided by alt-right people, don't tell me. Just cut
them
out.
Ian, we got brigaded by an alt-right cabal one day, which was fun.
I think I heard about this.
Yeah. Fun is not really fun.
What do you do, kill the stream and restart it or something?
Yeah. We nuked it and started again.
Props to Ben for actually paying attention to what's happening. Because I was talking to a guy. It was very difficult to talk to that guy.
So we used to show the show has a phone number where you can call in, and we have an email address, as we've said, bensemail@yahoo.com, @gmail.com. And we used to display those on screen. So I guess this group, maybe they have like a Discord or something where they go through and they brigade different random live streams that they found us. Called us. I answered the phone call. Paul was like trying to engage this guy. And then I noticed all these anti-Semitic comments happening on the YouTube chat.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
fun. That's good times.
So yeah.
Yay, the internet.
Speaking of the video chat, I just looked at a picture of myself. Well, you know, the image of myself. I look like I should be entering a 1920s swimming contest.
I was going to say your right?
Or strongman competition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hey, there we go.
Different today.
I love my new mustache. This is going to be it from now on.
Are you familiar with the TikToker/YouTuber Tom Cardi?
No, I am not.
You've got a very Tom Cardi look to you right now.
Yes. People are.
He's an Australian who sings funny songs.
Oh, well, I find that delightful. That's much better than other people that people have said I look like. which I will not get into here, because it's one of my buttons that people like to push, suggesting I'm somebody else. So Ian, one of the reasons why I did this, why everything's interconnected, is so that we can have, you know, we can come up with a reason why there would be kobolds in the bandit cave. They come through the door where the dragon is. We have reasons why the constructs would be in the kobold cave, because they come through the inventor's portal. So we could use those. I'm trying to think, because I want the players to have agency, right?
Yeah.
If there is a different way to do a random encounter that will still be satisfying, but maybe not a monster. Maybe we have. Okay, so I'm thinking. Have you ever played a Powered by the Apocalypse game?
I have not directly played myself, but I've watched them.
One of the things I like about it is that, you know, they have things on rolls, and when a roll happens, they can choose one thing or another thing. You know, that sort of deal.
So maybe to run a Monster Hearts game soon. So
Well, there you go. We could do something like, the party gets a visit from someone that gives them useful information, someone that hampers their project, something that, you know what I mean. Instead of naming what the thing is, the party. gets into a fight, meets a useful or meets an ally.
Yeah.
So gets into a fight, meets an ally, gains new information.
I would like to refine that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So my refinement would be one of the options, if we're going for a triptych sort of thing here, one of the options could be they meet a peddler of curious wares.
Oh, yeah.
About half of which are actually magical, and they're cheap. You know, they're 5 gold pieces or something. And that, you know, so people can get power-ups, basically, through that. So yeah. Peddler of curious wares. Someone who knows something, I like that. They gain some information that's useful. They run into someone who's, you know, directly involved in the thing that they're doing. Is like, oh, what are you doing in the caves? Well, I was just down here checking out the bandits, the path to the bandits. Oh, there's a path to the bandits?
Yeah, exactly.
And then what would the third thing be if we did that?
Okay, so...
Get in a fight, you said.
Yeah, but do we... I mean... You know, either someone who we could do something like friend or foe. They meet someone that they could fight or could help them, depending on how the thing. I don't know if that's too wishy-washy. We might just want to give, you know, someone.
My goal here is to have evocative, specific things that people know that they're bidding on. So I don't want to say.
Right.
You run into a random person who will be helpful. I want to say you run into Ivan, who knows all about the secret path to the bandit caves, so that people know when they vote. When I put my $10 on Ivan, that's what I'm going to get. Is I'm going to get the guy who tells them how to get to the bandit caves.
Okay. Yeah. So,
part of this is the psychology of how do we ask people to donate for something that they feel like they have agency in the game as well.
Okay. So they meet. Well, let's do it. Let's do Ivan. Let's have it be Ivan, who knows all about the bandit caves. Because if they already know the path there, maybe they can ask something else. You know, so Ivan knows everything about the bandit. Oh, yeah. Ivan, who knows all about the bandit caves. We could do a three thing. Let's see.
What's our peddler's name?
Old.
That's so funny. I was going to say Old Sasha.
Old Sasha?
Yeah. But no, it should be, we don't need to go with a Slavic theme for everything.
We could do Old Abner. Old Abner is the. Old Abner is the guy with the talking horses.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
He's an actual guy in the, in the lore of this world. Old Abner used to take care of the ponies. And then the magician made the ponies talk, and Old Abner got disgruntled because he used to take care of the ponies. Now he can't. Now he doesn't have anything to do because the ponies have gained sentience and, you know, exclude him more. For they're like, okay, thanks, Abner.
Thanks, Ab. Go away.
Yeah, exactly, because he's their dad, basically, and they're teens. Yeah. So they could meet Old Abner, who knows all about the bandit case, because Old Abner used to be one of the bandits, and then got kicked out for being too old, found these ponies, and now the ponies he's basically just aged out of, it's a statement on the ageism that affects people. He was too old to be a bandit, then took over, started taking care of the ponies, then the ponies became sentient and stopped dealing with him, so now he just wanders around the town aimlessly looking for someone to talk to. And so that's
so he's peddling information or magical items?
Oh no, Old Abner is the I think, oh wait, Ivan is the right. So Old Abner, oh my gosh.
But we can swap the names.
Oh my gosh, no wait. I like this as an idea. Let's take away Old Abner.
Okay.
The guy who's peddling magic items, and I don't remember what his name is. I have to get my but he's an old kobold.
Okay.
Who basically raided the, because this is actual lore, raided the tower. That's how the kobold stole all the food she stole the bag. She has a bag of holding, or they have a bag of holding.
Yeah.
That they put all the food in. So, yeah. And I don't remember the name, but I have it. I can email it to you after the podcast.
Yeah.
Of the name of the kobold. So the kobold is the one who sells the magic items. And his shop is down in the tunnels, but they could run into him wherever because they have tunnels that pop up. The kobold's tunnels go basically everywhere. So we could throw him in.
And I'm imagining the peddler has a big like sack of stuff on the
huge
back.
Huge sack, yeah.
And they just wander around like this sort of demented Santa Claus, and every so often they run into someone, and that someone will stop and talk to them, and they'll cackle gleefully and, you know, talk about all this stuff that they have to sell.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like a, you know, a 50% chance that whatever you buy is going to have some magical property.
And we'll say this, since you're familiar with the kobold inventor character, yeah, or in like Volos or something like that.
Not specifically, but
they like sell. Okay, this is going to be great because some things are magic items. Other things are a bag of bees. You know, things that are also sort of useful, but not. They're just crazy. So I think that'll work out great. We have old Ivan. Oh, and again, we'll say there's old Abner, but we'll just say Ivan isn't old Ivan. He's just Ivan. Yeah. Ivan got kicked out for being too old. You know, and he's kind of disgruntled.
And so then, Ivan's an ex-bandit.
What's that? Yeah,
Ivan is an ex-bandit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. And then the third person is, I think, if we go from the different areas, the last person is actually an animated something.
Like an animated piece of garbage?
Yeah, that ran away from the junkyard. And so... Yeah. And so we've got an
animated clock.
An animated clock. Whose name is Clocky.
Yeah, or Tempest.
Tempest. Tempest the animated clock. I like it.
What does Tempest the animated clock give us, though?
Tempest the animated clock knows the way through the maze.
That's good, because that will necessarily draw the characters to say, there's a maze?
Exactly. And Tempest basically is a renegade from the Mad King of Basura.
I like it.
Oh, here's something that I'll tell you guys. The maze itself, the walls of the maze are made up of junk. All the junk within the area of the banana slug is animated. So it's just these moaning, howling walls of trapped beings who are fused together. It's horrific.
So the animated junk does not reconfigure itself into different mazes, though.
No.
But that was the first could. My first thought when you said animated junk that makes up the maze, like, oh shit, that's a maze that's going to change every time you look at it.
Now that you and I are talking about it, yeah, I have the map drawn out, but it may be one of those situations where you just get, instead of having the actual, because I have the maze drawn out, it might be easier that there's a random table that you roll and the maze isn't actually static.
Well, so that discounts Tempest's benefits then.
Oh, no. Tempest would give you bonuses on your rolls, basically.
Oh, so you have to keep Tempest with you.
I would say unless Tempest were to, this is the way I was thinking about it. Yeah, I was thinking that you would keep Tempest with you, sits on your shoulder, you know, little legs dangling, you know, and so telling
this,
you which
this is more or less take me with you, friends, and I'll guide you through the maze.
Exactly, that's right, and that's how Tempest talks now.
Yeah, no, you got to remember that.
Hey, everybody. There's no problem here. I guess it's time for you to follow me.
If you can play sounds, you have to have a TikTok noise that's just going on in the background while you talk to Tempest.
Jeez. Yeah, Ben, just do that.
Get Ben up there on a microphone.
Mic. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, that's good. So I like that. It's three helpers, basically.
Yeah. So,
And if they invoke Ivan and we're in the kobold tunnels, Ivan crawls through that door. If we're in, you know what I mean? Like, if we're at the junkyard, the kobold pops out from one of the tunnels. Mm-hmm. And then Tempest shows up, however.
So if we do this by setting a dollar amount, let's say we set a $200 donation amount.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get introduced until the $200 amount is reached. Am I just going to pop in the stream and say, excuse me, Paul, there's a kobold pops out of nowhere? Like, how do you want to deal with
that? Okay, so I have a thought, and I want to ask you, this is a money thought, and I don't know how it works, right? Mm-hmm. Is it better if there's a threshold that needs to be met for the person to show up, and then when that threshold is met, there's a bidding war about which of the three people shows up, or do we vote on each of them individually?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer. My inclination, because I thought of it earlier, is to have people vote for an individual thing. So if I am a donor for Annex Theater, or, you know, someone who's just enjoying the stream and I want to see my awesome thing happen, I'm going to vote my dollars for Ivan to show up because I really want Ivan to show up.
Yeah.
And then when I see that Tempest is gaining, I'm like, fuck that. Put more money on Ivan.
Okay.
And so it becomes a bidding war in the sort of eBay auction style.
And then, if they want to, they can pick up the people who, after Ivan shows up, the people can then start bidding on, you know, all three of them can show up without any problem. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think, yeah, what you would say is, excuse me, Paul, but the party hears footsteps approaching. And then I will say, oh, Ian, who do the party see arrive? And you say, they see a kobold. Or they see a tiny clock. Or they see... So, like, you let me know.
A thing that is true is that unless they're listening to this podcast, they won't know what Ivan or Tempest or the kobold's name mean. I can just say, excuse me, Paul.
Yes.
The party hears Tempest approaching.
Ah, yeah. We could do that. That's fine.
Because then it's a code that you and I know, and, you know, nobody else gets any information from that. It's just like, okay, there's a name, you know, somebody's approaching.
Okay. I think I have the other thing. I almost hate to do it because it's sort of evil, but I like the idea. And I could do this between now and then. I could make them up, named enemies, so that when you say I'm just saying it might be interesting, if you say the party hears Surik approaching,
right.
Surik is a bad guy,
right?
So the party will hear.
So you don't know is it going to be a good guy or a bad guy based on the name?
I'm just saying it might be an interesting thing, but are there people that want to have the party dead?
Yeah, the
did
bandits.
Did anyone vote that way? No, I mean, did anyone vote that way? Would someone vote for a person that would mess up the party?
Certainly people, so somebody voted, well, I found out somebody did not vote for the dragon. That was my mistake based on a vague instruction.
I remember that.
On the donation. But somebody definitely voted for the hellhounds to show up. Somebody definitely voted for kobolds to show up. So the donors were interested in throwing challenges in the party's way.
Okay.
And I think that if we come up with three named enemies, so we can have three named helpers and three named enemies and have those be separate trackers. I'm going to make an update to the little rules site so that I can keep track of donations and see what people are voting for.
Okay.
But if we have three named adversaries, you know, we can have a bandit scout who shows up. We could have, and that the bandit scout should show up anywhere and, you know, deal with that in that location.
Judge Harlock, H-A-R-L-O-C-K. Judge Harlock is from the human city. He's a human from the human city who has reason to believe that their mayoral candidate is a criminal and is showing up to arrest him.
So this would be for people persons.
Yep. This is, and this is what I'm thinking, is that each of the enemies has a reason to go after the party, the specific people. So there's one.
Yeah. We could get a food inspector in to shut down the no menu.
Oh, that's great. Willa, W-I-L-L-A, Jeffries. The human food inspector. I like humans being the bad guys. A human food inspector. And then
do you imagine that Willa Jeffries is going to show up and have a social encounter with them? Like, is it going to be a sort of a role play battle as opposed to a fighting with swords battle?
I think let's have it be Willa Jeffries and Klurg, K-L-U-R-G.
Okay.
And Klurg is her bodyguard. And so it could, the confrontation could turn adversarial.
Could go either way. Okay. Yeah.
And can you write these down and send them to me?
Yeah, I'm taking notes on what I'm thinking the options are, but I've got the names down.
Okay, because I'll stat them out. And then, and yeah, she's just going to go ballistic when she sees that there's a kobold tunnel underneath the place.
How does that encounter work if they're in the midst of the kobold tunnels? How do Willa and Klurg find them?
Well, she has been going through the. She went to inspect the. This is the thing. She went to inspect the gnome menu itself, found it closed. Klurg broke in. No, actually, the door's unlocked.
Yeah, I think the door's open.
So she then wandered, went to investigate their cellar, wandered in, and now she's lost.
Oh.
Right. So,
but she's going to be angry because she went to inspect and everything was topsy turvy and definitely not in a health and safety sort of way.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, she'll be a combination, I think, of food inspector and OSHA. So, yeah. Like, you know,
health and safety inspector.
Exactly. And there's an obvious trap in the basement that anyone could have gone to. Two dogs, by the way. One of whom attacked me, or whatever. Oh no! Oh, Ian,
what happened?
The third person.
Yes.
The houndsman.
The houndsman. What is a houndsman?
He's there to retrieve
the owner
his
of the
hellhounds.
So this is an actual devil who shows up. Like, hey, you got my dogs?
Yeah, exactly. And he's mean to them. It's I'm thinking of someone that everyone will want to see beat, basically.
So this is a man who shows up, grabs the hellhounds, and is mean to them.
Well, he has been. No, this is the thing. He doesn't grab the hellhounds. He wants the hellhounds back, and he is going to try to grab them, but. But when he approaches, the hellhounds back up and they do not like him. They're scared of him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We never actually directly.
We never see the cruelty. We just see the after effects.
Exactly. That's right. We don't show lines and veils. I figure people
veils.
Would not want us to actually see. But
agreed.
Yeah, because one of the things I was thinking about is how do we let Bax keep the hellhounds? And that I think is one of the ways is that the hellhounds, Bax has been nice to them. They've gotten bread. They've never had bread before, you know, that sort of thing. So, did you guys see the Book of Boba Fett, the most recent one?
No.
The one that came out today?
No, the one after that one. The number three.
The one that came out next week. Yeah, I've seen three episodes. One.
Okay, so the Rancor.
Ian, have you seen it?
Do you watch The Book of Boba Fett?
I have not. I will at some point. You can't spoil it for me. It's fine.
Well, just okay. So Danny Trejo, is that his last name? Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Is a big pitbull rescue guy.
Okay.
And so he shows up as a Rancor trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rancor keeper or something. That character had a name in Jedi. I can't remember what it is.
And it's a really great scene where he talks about how Rancor just misunderstood.
They're bred for fighting, so that's all they do. And
yeah.
Sure.
And that's all the people know, you know, that kind of thing. It's great. It's great. I thought it was really, really a nice thing because you've got Boba Fett and you've got this, you know, like well-known tough guy actor, and they're both talking about love and companionship, and it's just, it's wonderful. Cool. Wonderful.
Boba Fett's like, I want to write it. Teach me to write it. That character's name is Mala Kili, the Rancor Keeper in Jedi.
That actually rings a bell. I probably knew that when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was never mentioned in the film. I don't know who came up with that. But
difference between me and lots of my Midwest peers, they all thought it was funny that the Rancor Keeper was crying. And I was like, no.
He just lost a pet.
It's sad.
They have empathy.
Yeah. Well, I have sympathy. I don't know if I have empathy. So, there's a slight difference.
Fair.
But all of that said, I think I think that's good. We've got six different options that all will work.
In a way, we've got more than that. So here are the notes that I have so far.
Yeah.
One of the options that we can work on is they can meet kobolds, or they can meet bandits, or they can meet automated kobolds.
Yeah. Augmented.
Augmented. I wrote automated. I meant augmented.
Yeah. I mean, they are automated. You're correct.
Stupid augmented correct.
Yeah. And then we have a count up to the magical transportation to reunite the party.
Yep.
And if we wanted to be mercenary about it, we could have them reunite above ground or reunite below ground. We could have two different tracks. Whichever one gets there first determines where they actually get reunited.
I like that. That's really good.
We'll note that down. Okay.
Ooh. Okay, I don't know if we need this to be... but if the two groups had a sending stone that allowed them to talk to one another, the party being split up wouldn't matter as much.
Yep. Magical sending stone drops from heaven.
Yeah.
Just have a countdown to that. Yeah, I like it.
And the sending stone costs less than the reuniting the party.
D&D worlds have cell phones or like walkie-talkies?
Sending stones.
Yeah, they're more like walkie-talkies.
They're like limited walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Smart stones.
Yeah, technically they use the sending spell, so you're limited to 25 words and you can only do it once per day. And some people stick to that and some people don't.
We will not stick to that. These will be walkie-talkies.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
Speaking of which, last Sunday I had my first DMing for my live game. My old DM wanted to be a player for a while. And I gotta say, gaming in person, very cool.
Yeah, it's nice when you can do it.
Come on out, Paul.
Oh yeah, no, but no, not yet.
It'll just be you and me in the theater. Everybody else will be virtual.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But yeah, we were all vaccinated. Everybody, you know, did good things, as far as that goes. And one guy didn't show up because he works at a bar right now. In Illinois, and he's like, there's no way I can be safe. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. And we were like, no, don't be sorry. We're happy that you're doing that. But my county right now, 20% of the people have COVID. Of the
Sounds
entire.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. King County is really high right now. I don't know what the numbers are, but we're also very high.
King County, we're really high right now.
That's so true.
Absolutely, yeah. So, all right. Well, we have 15 more minutes. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to talk about business-wise? Because if not, we can go on to Ben's going to guess the news.
Well, I had a couple of things I wanted to confirm with you. I don't know if you want to do that on your podcast.
Oh, okay. We could do it afterwards.
No holds barred here.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure that you're going to have a good, high-quality recap of the previous session's events to bring people in for, and possibly we could even record this beforehand.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because I want people to not see, oh, it's episode 2, I can't join because I don't know the story. I want them to feel free to join. And so if we had an easily accessible recap of here's what happened in the last session, that would be good. Cheyenne started us on that path with the with naming timestamps, but I don't think that's going to result in a coherent thing in time.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that. Send me an email about it.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's one of those situations of I could do that. And then right beforehand, so Paul, what's that recap? Yeah, no. So
right.
So yeah, we can put that on Annex's web YouTube page, and we can also play it right before the stream.
Yeah. So the idea is that we as soon as we have it, we post it as a link to the Facebook event. We post it on the YouTube page. We put it everywhere that we can. We make it available so that everybody has the chance to recap themselves well before the event itself, and well before we'll see what we actually managed to pull off timing wise. And then we play it before the stream. So our streaming goes approximately, we have the welcome to the stream, we haven't started yet card, and then we have an introduction, a live introduction is my guess, and then we say, Ben, roll the recap, and then we run the recap, and people who know it can tune out for the 3 minutes or whatever it takes. And then when we come back, we'll launch into the real thing. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking I might do, and Ben, you tell me if this sounds crazy. I think it would work. If I can do the recap as a TikTok, then I'll do that and I'll send you the video of it. Because I can download it off of...
Yeah, don't send me a TikTok link. Send me...
A video file.
A video file via, but I mean, like, it'll Dropbox be in, or Google Drive or something.
The reason I bring it up is it'll be in portrait mode. Is that going to make you mad?
Yes, it will make me mad, actually.
Make me mad, yeah.
You can put a map of... or an image of the thing... I'll record it as though it is a TikTok. Or we could do it after this, where I could.
Do you have the recap text in your brain, or could you improvise it quickly enough?
I mean, I could. Definitely. But I think it might be better if I write down notes, you know, so that we hit the right.
Yeah, I want to make sure we hit the main points and the relevant points.
There was actually something that I sent.
In email?
I sent it to... Did I send it in email? I might have. Or I sent it in the chat. But it was a recap that I wrote for the first half. So I could use that and then just do the second part. But I don't know where that recap... I sent it to... do you... We wouldn't have a chat, the chat of the last stream, right?
If you look at the stream on YouTube, you can see the chat. It scrolls by.
Do you have a... Yeah. I don't remember who I did. It would be nice if I could find it, because
in the YouTube chat?
I think I put it not in the YouTube chat, in the Zoom chat.
Oh, that's probably gone because we didn't record that.
Okay. All right. Well, regardless, I'll write it and I'll record it, and and then send it to you. Yes.
Excellent. And I'm going to send you an email about that.
Okay. Perfect.
Hooray!
There was a second thing, though? Was there a second thing?
Probably. Let's see. We needed to get that sorted out. There probably was, and my brain just went blank, as happens.
So if we, so we have the recap, and then we launch into the game. We have a, you know, you're going to design a background
different,
that was like
different
the
overlay.
Previous one.
Can you do video overlays?
I can do video overlays. So my, but my question to you is, when you break in, how am I going to know you're going to break in?
Well, this is a technical question that we have to work out in our tech process, but I was imagining that we're all going to be on one big fat Zoom call.
Yeah.
And you're going to do Wirecast magic to take each individual video and put it in the right place on the overlay, which means that you're going to have a similar thing for me on the Zoom call. And so you could just pop me up full screen or whatever, right. Or we could make a little overlay that says rules lawyer or something like that. And cool. Just, you know, everyone will hear me this time because we're all going to be listening to the same microphone feed. So I'm just going to lean in and say, excuse me, Paul.
Right on.
And then yeah. And then that's your cue to pop over to me, I guess.
Cool. So Brendan Healy from Pony World Theater has joined us. And he says he feels like he's watching his internal monologue on any given day right now.
how the sausage is made, I guess.
I'm assuming it's Brandon. It's Pony World's YouTube channel.
Fair.
So I will most likely overthink this a little bit too much. But I was thinking that it might be funny to do the bandit character that was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more I think about it, it'd be better if I do the recap as me. Hey, I'm Paul Goody. I'm the GM of this game. Let me tell you what you missed the last time. Mm-hmm. And this is all you need to know. And then, you know,
spent 4 hours doing this.
I'm thinking 3 minutes might be too long. I'm going to try to be as the basic things I'm going to hit is everybody's hanging out at the tavern. Some guy came in, said all the food had been stolen, or some guy came in needing all the food in the tavern. They found, or needing lettuce. It was lettuce, right?
Yeah.
Guy came in looking for lettuce. They found out all the food had been stolen. They found, thing to the kobold tunnels. Trap separated the party. The party that was in the tunnels, hellhounds got fought. And this is not how I'm going to do it. By the way. It's going to be much
not.
More.
You're
clear.
Just hitting the points.
Ran into some
worst
deep gnomes.
Recap ever.
Deep gnomes pulled out war horses with glass globes over their heads. Who then?
I totally missed this part of the story somehow. I'm glad to hear it.
Who then stomped a whole bunch of kobold eggs? And the team ran as kobolds and deep gnomes started fighting. Eventually, they ran into a dragon. Dragon said, "You have to save my kobold eggs. Kill all these deep gnomes for me." And they didn't necessarily agree, but that's where it ended.
Right.
Then I think I've hit most of the points.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. That was my broad understanding.
Here, the one thing I think I might do is say, in a tavern, we met, and then list everybody and what they are.
Yeah.
Basically, do that part first. And then say, you know, so that we know who everybody is.
The other thing I think that we should do, which we didn't do last time, is we should introduce everyone. We should give everyone a moment to sit down and be the focus of attention and say, hi, my name is Ian Johnston. I'm playing the rules lawyer. in this production, what that means, you know, in this game, what that means is that I'm going to be doing any rules interpretations that need to be made. I'm going to look up rules. I'm also going to be the person who leans in and talks about donation changes to the world. And then we move on to, you know, whoever, Cheyenne steps up and says, hi, I'm Cheyenne. You know, I'm playing, this is who I am. I'm playing this character, whatever she wants to say as part of her thing.
Yep.
And we just go around the table basically like that.
One thing I don't think. Oh, sorry. I was going to say one thing that might be interesting. If we've already done like a recap, right? But if you say who you're playing and where your character is right now in the world.
Yes.
That might be useful so that everybody kind of orients in space. The audience knows who's in which group and where they're at.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. 5 minutes left. Ben, I think this was really great. I really think some people might enjoy how it sort of changed up a little bit this time.
Throwing in the random element of having a guest.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed.
This is the first podcast I've ever guested on.
Hey, well, look
really?
At that.
Really?
Yeah. You wouldn't know it from listening. You're a natural, kid.
Well, thank you for joining us, and I'm sorry you had to start out this way.
And that was my first time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hate it when that topic comes up at parties. What was your first podcast?
First time.
Oh,
joke.
My gosh. I was talking to people yesterday about how if I talked like this all the time, I think I would be much more successful in speaking with large groups or small groups. Anyone, in fact. But the problem is that this is the vocal equivalent of the Uncanny Valley. Even though it's somewhat pleasant to listen to, it is somewhat off-putting for people who expect someone to talk like a normal human being.
Very much so. I was going to say, if you spoke to me like that one-on-one, I would be feeling a distinct urge to go away.
Yeah, I'd be wondering what you were trying to sell me.
And so that's why I've adopted this voice, which is not my, I've mentioned this to people before, not my normal voice, actually. It's meant to be, you see that little pause there? It's that's to draw you in to think, oh, this is a normal person. This is a human being. I can talk to this person. Yes.
You normally sound like a reptoid? Like, what's the difference?
Well, normally I talk like this whenever I'm at home. And I'm just walking around. Hey, Edward, how's it going? Well, that's good. Time to make myself a sandwich. Ha ha, I'm a sandwich. That's the way that works. Everybody knows it's a dad joke. And you know who else knows it's a dad joke? My dad, who is relatively humorless. If we're talking about my adopted dad. My biological dad, on the other hand, is somewhat of a funny guy. Although I secretly believe he might enjoy right-wing politics. We never talk about it. Because we want to have a good relationship.
Really?
Anyway, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ian, in these last 2 minutes, is there anything that you want to tell the people? This is your chance to plug something. Obviously, we have the thing we've been talking about this entire time, but is there anything else you're working
on? No, that's it. Come join us for Annex Theater's Annex Games D&D stream. Which is going to be happening on January 29th at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10 p.m. East Coast time, which is 3 a.m. GMT, if you need to convert that to something else. It's going to be madcap, and we're going to have Paul Goody as the GM, and we're going to have myself as the rules lawyer, and Ben's going to be our stream wizard, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have an amazing recap, so you'll be able to catch up. You'll be able to just jump right in. And it is a fundraiser, so we will ask everyone, if you feel like it, to donate. When you donate, you do get to modify the game, which I think is a fantastic thing to do. You can drop a dollar, and it makes a difference in the game. It makes a difference in the theater, too. It keeps
makes
the theater going.
In the theater, too.
Yeah,
that's why we're there.
Honestly, that's what the whole reason is. Yeah. So awesome.
But it's also fun to participate.
And Ben, this is a one time that we haven't talked about all the horrible things happening in the world, and isn't that nice?
It's a nice relief.
Yeah.
You should have a guest more often.
Hey, wait. Well, depends on the guest.
Depends on the guest.
I have to say, well, sometimes we will have a guest who actually brings things to our attention that we didn't know about that were horrible.
Yeah, well, but no, one time, like, yeah. we did, I think our last legitimate guest, we had Eric Ray Anderson on. I surprised Paul with that. And his friend from Twin Peaks, who's, unfortunately, his name is escaping me. But we talked about Twin Peaks The Return, because Eric and, I think his name was John, were on this show.
Oh, they did a great job. And, yeah, hey, shout out to Twin Peaks The Return. Go ahead and watch it. It's out on Blu-ray. Yeah. Speaking of Ray, Eric Ray Anderson, Blu-ray.
Ray Anderson.
And until that's next cool. week, I ask you all to please keep it wrong.
Yeah, Ian, that's our tagline here. Because yes. we don't look anything up. We keep it wrong.
Exactly.
Google 100% makes people, not fact-checked.
Exactly. Google makes people think that they know more than they actually do. We're only talking about things that we have in our own heads. And let me tell you, I'm real stupid. So.
All right. Paul, Ian, I bid you a very merry keep it wrong, and we'll
keep
talk
it wrong.
To you later.
Talk to you later. Yep.
Keep it wrong, everyone.
And we'll see you at Annex D&D, January 29th, 7 p.m. at Annex Theater's YouTube page.